It's that time of year once again, as Terrifying Tanner Thursdays no longer exists, because Tanner can't be here tonight. So instead, we introduce the new show, Are You Afraid of Podzilla After Dark? We went with, I think, Lindsay's title.
I actually really like it, the more I think about it. And it works, like, I go, Are You Afraid of PZ85 After Dark? It works on so many levels.
It does. I like it. It's kind of clever. It's kind of cute. It's like the B-sharps. The B-sharps. It's funny, but it gets less funny every time you think about it.
Wait a minute.
So that's us in a nutshell. It is that time of the year again. It really is. It's Halloween time. It's October. It's starting to get cool out there. I mean, it's like 70 degrees in Cape Girardeau, which will probably last us through January.
We'll get another 90 degree spike again.
Probably.
Before it gets cold, it's going to hit 90 again, I'm certain.
And that's really depressing, man.
It is.
I miss the old days. Here tonight, we have got a good show for you, and let me introduce your Thursday crew. It is myself. Let's try to think of a name to go with this. I have Spooky Shannon Young.
Spooky Shannon Young.
Spooky. Call me Spooky. And down at the end of the table, we have... It's a horror that starts with J. Jostling.
Jekyll.
That's not really a description, though.
Because Jurassic keeps popping into my head, but that's
Jurassic Jesse Kimmel.
That's not a horror thing, though.
Could be.
I mean, did you see the second one? I was scared.
I was scared, but not for those reasons.
Jaunting Jesse Kimmel.
Jaunting? I don't think that's a... Is it jaunting
like a jaunting tune? You know?
Yeah. About killing. Go with the last name. Go with the K.
How about Jesse Killer Kimball?
Jesse Killer.
Jesse Killer Kimball.
Oh. Now come back to it.
Okay.
Hit Lindsay you while you're thinking.
And also tonight we have.
There's a very obvious one.
Lesbian. No.
Excuse me?
No, not that. Just in my fantasies. What's the obvious one?
Lindsay Werewolf Gong.
You can even do it.
I know. It's because I stutter.
We have Lindsay the Werewolf Gong. That's what you like?
Yeah.
Lindsay the Werewolf Gong. Okay, Jesse.
Yeah.
Back to you.
What you got?
No, what do you got?
I don't have anything.
No, Lindsay will spit her water out.
Yeah, Jay has always been hard for pretty much
everything.
That
is a difficult one.
Yeah.
Killer Kimball's from Outer Space.
Killer Kimball's from Outer Space.
That's what we're going to call you tonight. And the ghost of Mandy Kennedy. She's here, but she's a ghost. She can't talk.
The orange microphone is set up and everything.
It really is. Mandy's not here with us tonight. She had prior engagements, so she'll be back next week, we are told, on Podzilla 1985 and Are You Afraid of PZ85 After Dark? Tanner, Terrifying Tanner Thursday production. So what we got for you guys tonight is we are doing our annual list, 31 things you need to watch in October. We've done this 2 years in a row. It's always fun. We pick 10 things out each. Usually it's less, but since we're down a person, we all pick 10 things out. And this is the stuff that we want you to watch this October to get you in the Halloween October spirit.
Yep. And we kind of goofed a little by not doing it the week before October. So
yep,
you got some catching up to do now that it's 6 days.
Couple binge days.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really think about that.
It's fine.
I didn't think about it until after we recorded the last show, because the last show was kind of special. You know, we had we set up in your apartment.
Yeah, it was cool. We had cats.
There were cats involved.
Turtles.
And we still talked about movies.
We did, just not scary ones.
Right.
Right. You can, we'll actually post the last two lists as well, because we know we got a lot of new listeners that just started, like Zane Laney, who may not know, the movies we picked the past 2 years. So we'll post those lists as well. We all picked out 10. I actually picked 11 because, you know, me. And actually, I had 10, and then I was going to have one as a special one because I rewatched The Shining, and I thought, okay, I hated The Shining the first time I watched it. I liked it a lot this time. We'll have that in there as the 31st, and that'll be like the redemption one. You guys already did The Shining the first year.
Yep.
So couldn't put that on my list, but we got a lot of great movies here. You guys gave us your thoughts on what you wanted us to watch and what you're going to watch. We'll read those off here in a little bit too, and it's just going to be a fun old time. Now, I do want to make one non-Halloween mention real quick, and that is, and I'm going to pimp this really hard. If you haven't listened to it already, go back and listen to, if you're a wrestling fan at all, go back and listen to last night's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Not only was it a great show, as always, but we had Jeff Hardy on the show. WWE superstar Jeff Hardy on Podzilla 1985. That sounds weird every time I say it, but he was on the show last night. It was a good interview. Turn off your phones!
That was an intense vibrate. I have the ringer off.
My producer Jesse's telling me to wrap it up. He's giving me the signal. So let's get to it. We're about to,
Was
that my phone? Oh, it's Bob. Yeah. Second little shard of glass I've stepped on lately. Where the fuck are these coming from?
I'm sorry.
That would be Lindsay, because Lindsay broke a glass the other day.
That's because I was trying to take trash out from behind it, and I kind of knocked it on the floor. I didn't mean to. Well, I thought I got it all cleaned up.
Jesse, what is the road to hell paved with?
Good intentions.
Are you Jesse? Are you Killer Kimball's from outer space? I think
he
not.
He was a little preoccupied.
It's true. I was taking a drink. I appreciate the assist, Lindsay.
So since this
Lindsay Werewolf Gong.
Lindsay the Werewolf Gong. Since we are doing this, it's Halloween and all that, I do want to make a special mention real quick. And it's the uncensored show. So I want to send a very special fuck you out to Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
This was interesting this morning.
You're a fucking terrible game. You're really not as good as everyone remembered you being. You're not that cute. So you shouldn't even be acting so difficult. And I got no respect for you. That is all. Okay, now we'll get to the list. 31 things you should watch in October, and you got 5 days to catch up on. Jesse, let's start with you.
No, you have to start for the way you to do
Shannon,
your
Shannon, let's start with you. Okay, Shannon, thanks. So the first movie that I have on my list this year is a recent movie that it's not great, but it's good, and it's got a really good Halloween spirit to it, and that is called Tales of Halloween. Yeah, it's on, I believe, Hulu right now, either Hulu or Netflix. You can go on there and watch it. It's an anthology movie.
Yay!
And it's got some pretty good stuff on there. There's a little demon kid. There's a good story about kids getting revenge. I can't tell too much because then it's going to get
away. I don't like when you watch anthology movies without me.
We watched it last year together, me, you, and Bob.
We did?
Yeah. We did.
It was very memorable.
So the thing with Lindsay is she always talks about, I hate when you watch movies without me, but she forgets we watch them, but she sits on her computer while we watch them, so she doesn't actually watch them.
No, I sat on the couch for that one, though, if it was just the three of us.
Well, how do you not remember watching it if you remember being on the couch?
Because I have a crappy memory!
I'm sure that once the movie starts playing,
I'll remember it.
Oh, yeah, this one.
It was a fun movie. It's a fun little tale. There's like 6 or 7 stories on it. I highly recommend it. It's kind of like Trick or Treat, but not as good. But it's called Tales of Halloween.
Trick or Treat is good.
It really is. It made our list previously. The only reason it's not on here tonight. But please go check out Tales of Halloween. It's a good time. Jesse, what's your first pick?
All right. My first pick, also a fairly recent title. It's a Netflix exclusive, so it is available on there. It's called Little Evil.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I invited you to watch, but you declined.
Okay.
Where it's Adam Scott.
Yes.
And, you tell it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I watched it specifically for Adam Scott. I love him. Mm-hmm. He's just great. Big Parks and Rec fan, and that was...
Did you watch the first episode of Ghosted?
Ghosted? No.
With Adam Scott and Craig Robinson?
Oh, that's on HBO, right?
Hulu.
Or Hulu.
It's on Fox.
Okay.
So it's on Hulu right now.
I did see it, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty good. It's not great, but it was a pilot episode. So anyway, the movie.
Right, right.
The movie.
Yeah. So Little Evil. I actually thought that this was a series. With a really long first episode for quite a while. It took me a minute to realize I was watching a movie.
It's kind of like a parody of The Omen.
A little bit, yeah. You know? Basically, the idea is Adam Scott plays a stepdad to this real quiet kid. It's, who's the wife?
She was on Lost. Evangeline Lilly, I think is her name.
That sounds right. Yeah, it was the chick from Lost.
Right.
I remember the trailer now.
But yeah, and her son is possibly, you know, demon spawn.
The Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's that old yarn.
That old yarn. And it's actually kind of like endearing and adorable. It's really funny. It's not scary at all.
No.
But it kind of gives you, like, it's still that little bit of, like, spooky Halloween stuff to it. And also Donald Faison has a minor role in it.
He does. And the woman that plays the guy... cracked me up the entire time, and I remember asking Allie, I'm like, so that is a girl, right?
Yeah, no, it's a lesbian woman.
Oh, is that what it was? They clearly said it was, because I thought she was literally just pretending to be a guy.
That's, well, I mean, Adam Scott kind of, like, referenced, it's not, I imagine she's trans.
Oh, gotcha.
So he effectively But yeah, and I remember that confused Adam Scott quite a bit through the beginning of the movie.
Yes, it did.
And it's really funny.
It was a good movie.
It's really good. Like like I said, it's really touching, really endearing, and also a little creepy. So yeah, it's a fun film.
It's a good October movie.
Oh yeah.
Lindsay, now you were the reason we changed this a little bit this year.
I suck.
Normally it's 31 movies to watch in October. This year we said 31 things because there's a lot of TV specials that you like that you wanted to put on the list. There's actually one TV show that I have on my list. So, let's get to your first pick for this October.
My first one is going to be the old classic that we always watched after trick or treating. It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Can you tell the audience what that's about?
It's basically about the kids going trick or treating and doing their Halloween thing. The Peanuts crew. Okay,
please be specific.
For everybody that has never heard of Charlie Brown before, there have got to be dozens of people.
Chuck and Marcy.
Marcy.
Macy. What's her name? Is one of them named Marcy?
One of them is named Marcy, but she's not one of the main ones. Lucy?
Is Marcy not in the gang?
Yeah.
Well, she is, but she doesn't talk much.
What's her name? Peppermint? Marcy Peppermint?
No, Peppermint Patty.
Yeah.
Peppermint Patty and Marcy are best friends, and other people take it further. But, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, when they grow up.
Stupid internet. Why do you like it so much?
I don't know. I just like the tone of it. It's just a good, fun Halloween thing. And you get little Linus, who just doesn't do anything because he's waiting in a pumpkin patch for the Great Pumpkin.
And it puts you in that Halloween spirit.
Uh-huh.
It's not scary. It's endearing.
Yes.
It's just
and it's all classic. They're all dressed up as like ghosts and witches and monsters.
I mean, it's a Halloween classic.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with that. I like that choice. I like to, and that's technically a movie, right? Or was it an episode of the show?
It was a TV special.
Counts. All of it counts. It's all good. I have a TV show for my second pick.
Okay.
And that is just added to Netflix not too long ago, Castlevania.
Yes, it was fabulous.
It was really, really good.
It needs more.
Castlevania, a couple reasons I put it on my list. One, I'm playing through Super Castlevania 4 right now on the Super Nintendo Classic Mini. I did get one, Jesse Woo-hoo! And I and Asa.
Yes.
We stood at Walmart and got one. It's a lot of fun. Castlevania is one of my favorite series of all time. In video games, it's my top three probably for favorite gaming series of all time. The Castlevania anime, it's based on Castlevania 3 for the Nintendo, and it's got Alucard and Sypha and Trevor. It gets off to a rocky start. The first episode's not great. The first half of the second episode's okay, but the rest of 2, 3, and 4 are amazing.
It definitely picks up.
It's super bloody. It sticks to the source material pretty well. And other than some choice language that I didn't quite understand, I was a big old fan of it. So Castlevania on Netflix. I mean, go play the games too, because it's just a great series. And it's very well animated. It's an anime movie or show. You watched it, right, Jesse?
Not yet.
Haven't seen Castlevania yet?
It was so good.
I haven't had an opportunity.
It is extremely gory.
It was really good.
Blood and baby guts and entrails everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There were a few, and I'm not going to lie, there were a few like cringeworthy moments for me.
Yeah, it'll feel that horror vibe. I mean, it's monsters, it's vampire hunters. It's a good time. Castlevania on Netflix. My second pick for this year.
Well, all right.
What about you, Jesse?
My second pick for this year is Oculus.
Okay.
Lindsay's searching her virtual
data. Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, my brain went to your system.
The Oculus
first.
Rift.
Yeah. But then I remembered, movie. Okay. We're good.
She was just flipping through the little Rolodex.
I really was.
Oculus Rift. Yeah. Oculus Rift. 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 Oh, there it is. Starring Karen Gillan?
Yes. From Doctor Who. Who. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite companion.
She'd be mine too.
Also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
As Nebula, right?
Yep.
Weird seeing her as Nebula, by the way.
Either way, now this is an actual, like, scary movie, and this kind of checks a bunch of boxes for me when I want a scary movie, because I really like ghost paranormal stuff in movies. That's my favorite kind of scary movie. And, this has a whole bunch of just real fun, trippy moments, because it's all about this mirror that's, possessed.
Yeah.
And
semi-based on an actual story of a possessed mirror that came out years ago. Not quite, but I mean, it's kind of
that part I don't know about.
Yeah. There was a mirror that these people bought that was supposedly haunted and messed with them.
Yep.
But not as far as this movie went, obviously.
Yeah, no, because this movie,
where she eats the glass.
Woo!
That part bothers me.
Yeah, I'm not going to say how that scene happens, but yeah, at some point she does eat glass.
You don't want to spoil that.
No. And, whoo! Oh.
Also, I don't know if you know this, that's a WWE film.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which?
Surprising. What?
Oculus?
Oculus.
Okay.
Apparently it's a WWE phone.
It's a WWE produced it.
Huh.
Or at least.
I was going to say, well, then who from there was in it?
Nobody. No,
that's
it was
surprising.
Just, I think it's one they just picked it up and they picked up the distribution of it. I don't think they had anything to do with the making of.
And it was really good too. Like,
yeah, because they've done horror movies before. What was it called? See No Evil. Not as good.
Won't
make any of our lists.
I have yet to enjoy a WWE film.
Well, now you have.
That's true. That's true.
This streak is broken. It's almost as good as The Chaperone. Best WWE film. Starring Triple H and the.
Boy, was that movie bad. Like, that wasn't even like, I'm going to sit back, turn off my brain, and eat some popcorn. Like, I just.
Would you say it was so bad it was scary?
No.
No.
It was.
No. Well, I tried, Triple H. Lindsay, what about you? Number two.
I'm going to get my other TV episode out of the way.
Okay.
The Boogeyman episode of The Real Ghostbusters.
That's a solid one. In fact, you could pick a lot from The Real Ghostbusters because they had Sam Hain was on there and he was really good. Cthulhu was in an episode.
Yeah.
But The Boogeyman holds a special place in my heart.
It still jumps out, yeah.
Yeah.
You remember, that guy
the Boogeyman
is creepy.
Was super creepy in that.
I would love to see a modern interpretation of that Boogeyman. Because if you've never seen The Real Ghostbusters,
it's
so he's
a little cheesy, but it was so creepy.
He's got like the devil hooves. He's got this big effing head, pointy nose. He kind of looks a little bit like Jay Leno. Like, kind of looks like the guy from Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's pretty creepy. And he comes through your closet at night, and they don't really say what he does after that.
He scared Egon.
Shannon's nodding like, yeah.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So okay. So that is all your TV episodes. You got more.
Yeah, that's all my TV episodes. All
right. I have my next one this year is another anime. It's Vampire Hunter D.
Yay!
Before Castlevania the anime, this was Castlevania
the
anime. Yeah. He fights vampires. There's monsters.
I'm still freaked out by that thing in his hand.
The eyeball in his hand.
And the mouth.
Face.
That
yeah,
like
the face.
Talks.
So it's not as
it
good
eats
as Bloodlust.
Things.
There's two of them. Have you ever seen either of them, Jesse?
Nope.
There's Vampire Hunter D, which was from the 80s, and then there's Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, which was either, late 90s, early 2000s, Lindsay?
I think it was late 90s. It's prettier.
It's much better animated, and it's a better story, but there's something about the original Vampire Hunter D.
It's
and all
just
of its,
unsettling.
And it's cheesy. It's super gory. I mean, guts everywhere. This was the first anime I ever saw nudity in.
Mm-hmm,
the girl,
me too.
The girl's naked a couple times, and I was like, you can't show that in cartoons. Those are nipples. But it's really good. Castlevania style anime. So check it out. It's a classic. Vampire Hunter D. Jesse.
Man, I didn't even think about anime. If you, this isn't part of my list, just real quick though, if you're into anime and you want some more horror anime that's pretty good, Tokyo Ghoul. Check that out.
Haven't watched that. I can also recommend High School of the Dead.
No,
at least the first few episodes. Oh, I
but to say the first
just ignore the fan service. The rest of it's fine.
Well,
the first few episodes are good, and then after that, it's tolerable. But I stuck with it.
I was about to say you have to like the first five episodes or so. Like I don't remember where it turns. It's like once they go into the girl's mansion.
Yeah. Then it gets real nude and real breasty.
Because at that point, there's nothing horror-y about it. It's all just fan service from that point out.
Yeah.
Like. Including boob bullet anyway.
boob bullet physics. I know where you're going with it. That's a thing in that show.
It's a thing in that show. All right, my next movie was Knights of Badassdom.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay.
A classic.
That's
yeah.
That's a great movie. Peter Dinklage.
That is a really good movie.
What was his name? Sir Hung?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen that movie in a couple of years. I definitely need to make sure I rewatch that this October because it is just – it's really good. Like it starts out really lighthearted, funny. It's all about like this LARPing crew.
Yeah.
And then some stuff goes down and a lot of people start dying. Really brutal deaths.
Really bloody. It's one of those movies that doesn't use a lot of CG. It's all practical effects. And anybody that listens to the show knows that we love practical effects. The monster was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a really good sense of humor. That's what I like about it. I've really shifted toward more of a horror comedy.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Right. Because it's so hard to scare me. Like, I've seen so many horror movies, it's hard to actually scare me or unsettle me. So it's much easier to make me laugh in a horror setting.
And, like, I'm finding lately that the stuff that would really, like, that could possibly scare me is just the low-budget bad acting kills it completely. 'cause you got, like, Paranormal Activity was low-budget. And it was great.
Yeah.
It was super creepy, really, really unsettling.
Very realistic.
Very well done. And then you've got movies like Ouija. That, like, the premise and a lot of the effects and everything are well done and it looks good, but the acting.
Speaking of Ouija, I'm going to declare this now because yeah. this is exciting. So do you know, we did I Want to Believe this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked the calendar. Do you know when the next I Want to Believe is?
Is it Halloween?
Halloween. Here's the plan that we have now for it. We're going to do a live show here from the studio. We're going to have a Ouija board again. This time legit. We're going to try to summon spirits. We're going to try to talk to demons. We're also going to have the Kinect camera aiming at this. So if anything does appear, any entity does come across to speak to us, it will show up, and we're going to live stream this to all the fans out there. This, while we do a normal show, like, it's not just going to be that. We're going to do a normal show, but I kind of, the way I put it to Tanner, because we discussed this on Tuesday, me, Tanner, Allie, and Calvin, was that it's basically a call-in show for ghosts. So if they want to communicate with us during this, I'm gonna go full Zach Baggins on it. And I'm going to be like, hey, you fucking demon bitch. You want to fucking fuck with me, fucker? You know, I'm going to do stuff like that and try to, maybe not so many F words, but I'm going to try to get them to possess me or kill me in some way. So this is going to be a lot of fun. That's this Halloween.
So Shannon wants to die on Halloween.
On the I Want to Believe Halloween special. Oh,
it would turn us all of us into a believer. That's for sure.
It would no longer be I Want to Believe. It would be he dared to dream. He never stopped believing. Now he's dead. Moving on with the list.
He killed all of his friends.
So live on camera to the PZ85 audience. That's this Halloween. It's the I Want to Believe Halloween special. It's going to be so much fun. And I believe we're up to Lindsay now, right?
Yeah, we're back to me.
Okay, Lindsay, what do you got?
Next, I'm going with Coraline.
Ooh.
Which is a stop motion animation movie. It was done by the same director as Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically about a little girl and her parents that move somewhere new so that her parents can focus on their writing and other work that way. And she's just bored out of her mind, doesn't really like her family, and somehow finds this other world where it's all the same type of people, but they're kind of weird and have button eyes, and it gets real dark and creepy real fast.
It was. It was kind of unsettling.
The other mother is terrifying.
Billy just walked in the room, by the way. Hi, Billy.
I actually watched that one in theaters. We sprung for the 3D. I actually went with my buddy Trevor Camp,
mm-hmm.
Because we're big fans of Nightmare Before Christmas, and we wanted to check this out. And that was one of the few movies that I went and saw in the theaters or for 3D anyway, that I was like, that was worth it. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, the 3D was just really, really well done in that film.
I don't think I ever saw it in theater. I think I saw it with you.
Yeah, I've got the Blu-ray.
Really enjoyed it. It's actually kind of scary in parts. Like, the mother is kind of terrifying, especially if you're showing this to children.
Yeah.
It could unsettle them a little bit.
I mean, it's almost exactly as unsettling as Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas terrified me as a child.
Just mm-hmm. that part with the head in the box.
Oh, more than that.
Honestly, Oogie was, that's what got me as a kid.
Well, well, well. What have we here?
I had a thing about bugs. Nope.
He's all bugs, Jesse.
Yeah, I know.
Well, hey, here's a movie that freaked me out as a kid because I was afraid of this too. The Blob.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about the old one because that was a classic. That's like a horror classic, but it's like Night of the Living Dead. They did a remake with Tom Savini that directed that I think is superior to the original George Romero classic. And in the same way, I think the Blob remake from the 80s is superior to the original
with
Blob movie.
Red goo.
Yeah, because this one, like, it's still the same premise. Comet crashes. There's a alien substance in it that turns into the Blob that gets bigger and bigger as it eats people.
It's like terrifying Katamari.
Yeah. And it is terrifying because they really up the gore factor in this one. There's a part where Shawnee Smith's looking at her boyfriend who's in it, and he's reaching for her, and he's screaming, and you can see his face kind of dissolving and his jaw breaking off as the monster tears him apart.
That's some great practical effects, too.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. We were showing it here in the store the other day because that's what we do at Gaming Grounds on Halloween, and the kids were glued to the TV. They were going like, this is awesome. And I was like, you probably shouldn't be watching this. But also, I don't fucking care. So I hope you go home tonight and cry. So, yeah, you can't do much better than The Blob. It really is just a great 80s horror classic. I think the best horror films came from the 80s, but I'm a little bit biased because that's when I was born. So The Blob is my fourth choice, Jesse.
Yep. Crap, I actually got rid of this thing. My fourth choice, and I'm surprised this one wasn't on the last two sets, The Ring.
Huh.
The original one.
The only good one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every other Ring movie is awful.
Agreed. The part in The Ring where they open up the closet and the girl's there with her face all distorted, I still find that hard to watch, and I know what's coming. It's like when you play PT and you know the ghost is going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I still find it hard to watch.
Still flinch every time.
Every time. The Ring put me in that mindset. That's back when the remakes of the Japanese films were really, really popular. They did the remakes of The Grudge, The Ring.
The Grudge was so good.
One Missed
I was
Call,
forced
stuff
to,
like that.
To watch The Ring after we got Snowden coming home from a convention.
Wasn't this when you guys ordered pizza too? Or was that The Grudge?
No, it was The Ring, and I was crammed in a hotel room with like 15 other people because we were snowed in, bored out of our minds. And they're like, oh, let's watch this. And like, do we have to? And we're like, yes. And then as it got going, I'm like, I'll be fine as long as the movie doesn't end with this. And then they all stared at me because I guessed what was going to happen. And I also ruined it because they were going to like reenact that afterwards to try and freak me out further.
Mm.
Lindsay, spoiling Halloween's for...
I didn't tell what it was.
But yes, Jesse, that is a good pick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lindsay, what you got next?
I'm going to stick with my stop motion train and go with 9.
9 was really... I could put 9 in the horror genre because it's...
It's more post-apocalyptic, but it's still...
But to them, it would be really scary.
It's still gritty.
And some of those creatures in that were actually legitimately, like, disturbing.
Yep.
The baby doll one, the snake and stuff like that. Yeah, like, some of that was pretty pretty disturbing.
I still remember the whole reason I wanted to watch the movie is because of the trailer.
Same reason I wanted to watch
Coheed.
It.
Coheed.
They had Coheed in the trailer.
Welcome Home.
Yep. And yeah. Boy, did I love that song.
And boy, did we go home. So 9, love it.
Yes.
My next pick is Hellraiser, another 80s classic, and which I'm really surprised this one wasn't on the list.
Wasn't it only a couple years ago you showed me that one for the first time? Because I didn't do horror movies as a kid.
Well, this has one of the most iconic horror villains of all time in Pinhead.
Pinhead.
Leader of the Cenobites, who...
all of those are terrifying.
They take joy in torturing you. That's like their entire existence.
Why it terrifies me.
Yeah, actually, and the reason I thought about this was because last night, Bob and I watched it together. He watched it. I watched like the last 30 minutes of it. The part where the guy gets ripped apart with hooks and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yuck.
It's super gory. And that's my favorite kind of horror movie. Gory and monsters.
I'm pretty sure I made you watch Care Bears after that one.
Which to me is more terrifying. But that's just because. Ignore all the other Hellraiser movies. They're not great. The first one, even though it's also not great, is a classic for Pinhead alone. So, Hellraiser.
True story. Dan, I just can't jump on that gore bandwagon. Like, I'm okay if it's monsters. And, you know, there's a little bit of gore going on and, like, you know, some brutal deaths. But, like, stuff like Saw and Hostel.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, we don't do well with the torture stuff. But, like, and this movie's really borderline because it kind of is torture, but it's not, like, human beings doing it to each other. It's demons.
And monsters.
And monsters doing it to you because you...
Did something.
You opened up a box. It's Pandora's box. Like, I get the symbolism, but in the reality of the movie, it's they literally solve a puzzle. And then the demons show up and they're like,
here's your prize.
You solved the puzzle. Good job. We have such things to show you. And then they hook your arms up and fucking rip you apart for millennia. Anyway, Jesse, what do you got next?
My next one's going to be Carrie.
Has that not been on the list either?
No, it has not. I checked.
Wow.
I've never watched that one.
I have. Yeah. I have.
My mother's apparently terrified of it.
It's really good. Like the 1976 version is solid, but I personally prefer the 2013 version with Chloe Moretz Grace. And yeah, it's Stephen King's first novel, I think, isn't it, Carrie?
Oh, that I'm not sure of. I don't want to make that call.
I'm pretty sure it is. Either way, it's just a really good film. The whole thing is about like girl treated badly in school, and then things go horribly wrong for everyone else.
Well, because they I don't want to say they deserved it because that was a big payback, but they kind of pushed her.
They did, you know. They did. Yeah, no, I felt like you feel for the villain in this one. I'll just say that. But yeah, no, definitely if you haven't watched that one, or even if you have, it's a good movie worth rewatching. Check it out.
Complete classic.
Yep.
Also, at this point, I would like to mention that one movie you're not going to hear on our list is the new movie It. Jesse and I discussed this earlier, and we're disqualifying it because it's still in theaters.
And will be out soon.
Right. Yeah. So, but don't get us wrong. If you have a chance to go see It,
go watch it.
Because it was fantastic. And it'll definitely be on next year's list. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Okay. Lindsay.
All right, I'm going to go for the cheesy one that you guys are probably both going to roll your eyes at me on.
I was waiting for this one.
Once Bitten.
I like that movie with Jim Carrey, the vampire movie, and Cleavon Little, I think is his name. Okay. The guy, maybe. He played the sheriff in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that movie. That's a fun movie.
It's on
movie.
Hulu right now.
I remember watching that movie.
It's cheesy as all get out.
It's good, though. It's
fun.
I don't like Jim Carrey a lot.
I know.
But I did like that movie.
I liked that movie.
So I'll give you that.
To be fair, that was before he got real big.
It's true. I think it was before In Living Color.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'll give it to you. My next one is Digging Up the Marrow.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I really like that movie. I don't want to spoil too much about it because I think saying anything is a spoiler.
Yeah, you just have to watch it.
Basic plot. It's based in reality where the director of Hatchet and a couple of other movies, his name's Adam, I think. I forget it, and I'm sorry. But he gets a letter from a guy who says he can prove monsters are real. This is all film documentary style. And then it's him and the guy going out to this thing called the Marrow, which is like an underground city built for monsters. It's based on artwork from another like horror guy. And there are parts in it that legitimately scare me, and the monsters themselves look amazing.
Yes.
All practical effects. It's really good. I can't recommend it enough. So Digging Up the Marrow is my next choice.
No, super solid. My next one, John Dies at the End.
That's a really good one too.
I fell asleep during that one.
That
I'm
one
sorry.
Will mess with your head.
It will. I really can't talk much about it without spoiling a whole lot of it, but.
Plus, who the fuck knows what it was about? Because that fucking movie was...
It's all over the place.
Is that why I fell asleep, or is because we didn't start watching it until like 1 in the morning?
I mean, yes.
This has got all sorts of stuff that'll mess with you. Like a couple of guys, paranormal investigation style stuff, and there's time travel involved. It's just watch the movie.
Yeah, you really can't explain it. It's also a very good book, I hear. I've not read the book,
though. Also hear it's a really good book. I think Asa is the one that's recommended to me multiple times.
I believe so, yeah.
Maybe one day I'll read the book.
Lindsay.
Okay. Back to my stop motion bus. Corpse Bride. Not as good as Nightmare, but
I think Corpse Bride is about where I fell off with Tim Burton.
That was Alice in Wonderland for me.
Was that after Corpse Bride?
Yes.
Well, see, I think Corpse Bride was where I kind of thought, okay, this is going to be like a Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it really isn't a bad movie. It's good. But there was just something about it I didn't like as much.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again, probably.
I still really like it.
I don't think I gave it a great chance, but I thought it was a good movie. And it's definitely
a
Halloween
movie. It
still
has a really good soundtrack in it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And Johnny Depp always does a good job. I mean, the animation, the stop motion's really good.
Yes. Character design and stuff is what I like in it. And just
I really
the
like
color
the,
and
the
tone.
The skeleton
again.
Song.
Yes.
Was very, very cool. Is it Danny Elfman?
Yes, it is Danny
that?
Elfman.
Hmm.
So that's a good one. So yeah, Corpse Bride.
Yep, solid movie.
Not as good as Nightmare Before Christmas.
No.
But still good. Here's one that wasn't on the list. My next choice, and this is baffling to me. I honestly was shocked this one wasn't on there. And that is An American Werewolf in London.
I don't know how that didn't get on there.
Well, the first time was because Shannon wasn't on the show. True. And I actually did give it honorable mention because it was like Shannon would be, I think if you go back and listen to this, Dalton can confirm it for me because apparently he's listened to this episode a few times. I think I remember saying something along the lines of Shannon would be really, really pissed off.
If we didn't mention
it. If I didn't mention American Werewolf in London because he just loves that movie.
I do. And now that I don't know why I didn't put it on the list last year, but I'm going to put it on proper to this time. It is the best werewolf movie ever made.
Yes.
Hands down.
Yeah.
I know some people like The Howling. I like The Howling. But An American Werewolf in London is the best werewolf movie. Directed by John Landis. It's funny. It's charming. It's scary. It's got the best werewolf in movies. It's legitimately scary. And it's funny and scary in all the right ways. It's just amazing.
I'll willingly watch that movie by myself, which I don't do with a lot of that genre.
I haven't watched it yet here in Halloween because I'm saving it for when I can actually watch it, uh-huh. Not when it's just on in the background. But yeah, An American Werewolf in London is a horror classic. Best werewolf movie ever. You have to go watch it.
Such
skip
a
the
good
sequel.
Transformation.
Skip the sequel, for the love of God. And the music, too.
Yes.
That the music's all centered around like the moon and stuff like that. And you've got CCR is in it. I think Werewolves in London might be in it. Blue Moon. Which is, yeah, it's just great.
It's really good.
I can't say enough good things about it. So American Werewolf in London, fantastic.
All right. My next one, The Witch, the 2015 film. It's set in 17th century. It's about a Puritan family that get exiled because they have a difference of opinion on the Bible.
Yep.
And stuff goes down.
Have you watched this yet, Lindsay?
No, because I think you guys went and saw it without me.
We did.
And then
we have
never,
it on Blu-ray.
We do have it.
We have it on Blu-ray. Okay. We bought it when Hastings was going out of business.
Okay.
I got it for super cheap. It's really good.
I still need to watch that one then.
It's incredibly slow.
I'm fine with slow horror.
It's a slow build to the end.
That's fine. I can deal with that.
But once you get to the horror, like.
Yeah. I don't want to give away too much, but The Goat was awesome. Like, it's cool. Mm. It's a great movie. Go see The Witch.
It's solid.
Yeah.
I think it's either on Hulu or Netflix. It's on one of the two.
I think it's on Hulu. Cause I remember seeing it on Hulu. It's well worth the watch.
Oh yeah.
Lindsay.
Sorry, I'm deciding which one I want to do. you know what? I'm just going to do it because everyone gives me slack for it anyways. But I'm sorry. It's a Halloween and a Christmas movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is that not on the list either?
Uh-uh.
Is it really not?
Because I'm pretty sure Tanner's like, that's Christmas. And I'm like, too bad. It's also Halloween.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm checking the list.
Yeah,
I'm
on there. I checked. I double-checked it.
Yeah, I said the same thing about The Shining. And then the fifth time I looked, there it was.
Okay, well, if it already is, I have a backup.
Okay, well, tell us what's... You've already kind of said it, but why do you love American Werewolf in Christmas so much?
What?
What did I say?
American Werewolf in Christmas.
That's the holiday special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
She's right. It's not on there.
It's just one of those things, like, it legitimately creeped me out when it first came out as, like, a fourth and fifth grader. Just really, really bothered me. And then I rewatched it in middle school and fell in love with it. I just like the animation style. They were very iconic with their color choices for each world. The music, you can just listen to that soundtrack over and over and over again.
And do.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you say as a fourth grader. I watched it for the first time when I was in kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
And my little brother was a preschooler.
Why?
Well, I was a fourth grader.
Because it was a Disney movie and it came in the big Disney box.
Uh-huh.
So they bought it for us. And I remember my little brother loved that movie so much. And I remember watching him like, Oh, those are a lot of bugs. Oh, that's a lot of bugs.
I was always freaked out by the clown that took its face off and the creature under the stairs.
I really enjoyed the film up till that final, last conflict.
With Boogie?
Yep.
Okay. I agree.
No, it's a really good movie, though.
I'm sticking with my 80s vibe on my next choice, Poltergeist. Another one that I'm shocked didn't make any of the list
before.
I
really like that one.
That one was one that they kind of, if I remember correctly, they kind of promoted it as a family horror film, like a family friendly. And I guess it is.
You said the little girl, like in all the promotional material.
Yeah. And there's nothing, there's no real terrible language. You know, there's not a lot of gore. And I think this was this a Spielberg movie? I'm almost positive it was Spielberg.
I feel like it is.
But I don't know. Rewatching it and skip the remake. It's terrible.
But yes. Oh my God. Yes.
The original was really not meant for kids. The part where Craig T. Nelson or the guy peels his face off in the mirror.
Yeah.
The maggots in the food.
That was gross.
Like that movie will mess you up. The monster at the end, the ghost, the trees, the clown. That movie is fucking scary. And I can watch
and
it.
And it's all
over
practical too.
Yeah.
Boy, the 80s had some great practical effects.
You would think they would get better over time, but I guess with CG being so available, everyone just decides let's do a CG.
CG was so much cheaper.
Because they assume that it is, cheaper and then an easier thing, but if you don't have a good artist doing it and working with the equipment properly, no.
Well, plus, in the late 90s, like CG was still really new, and what looked amazing back then, going back and watching some, like, most of the horror movies from the late 90s that didn't use practical effects are nigh unwatchable now.
Jurassic Park is borderline for me at this point. They still look good, the dinosaurs, but now I can easily tell the difference between the animatronics and the CG. The CG always looks lighter, like the colors, it just looks kind of washed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, but Poltergeist, fantastic movie.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really good. All right, my next one, 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I liked that a lot.
A lot of people didn't like it because, they thought another monster movie because they thought it was a sequel to Cloverfield.
Which,
I watched this film exclusively for John Goodman.
Me too.
We saw it in theaters, me and Allie, and John Goodman made that movie. Yeah.
National treasure.
Oh, it's one of the, I will go out on a limb and say that is one of the best performances from an actor I've ever seen. He was so unsettling and believable.
Yeah.
Like, he really made you cringe because of how believable his insanity was. He wasn't over the top with it.
Mm-mm.
It was grounded in reality.
Yep. And the whole thing, like, he's kind of, they're in a bunker. Like, there's not much of the, there's no mention whatsoever. Like, you don't have to have seen Cloverfield to watch this movie.
It's just something's happened. It's you can't go outside. It's deadly. But is it? Is he keeping them there on purpose? Is there something really going on? Don't want to spoil it because the ending.
Woo.
Yeah, you can't give it away. But yeah, fantastic movie.
Really, really good. Definitely worth watching.
I liked it more than Cloverfield.
I'd give it to you.
Once you get, because Cloverfield was really good, but Cloverfield was really good because of that giant monster.
Mm-hmm.
10 Cloverfield Lane was good because of John Goodman. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead was really good in it too, as the kind of doe-eyed, why am I here, what's going on. But boy, that John Goodman.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Lindsay. I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Well, I guess we're going to also continue with our 80s fest.
Is John Goodman in it?
No, he's not, but Michael Keaton is.
Teen Wolf.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a great movie.
You said Michael Keaton. I heard Michael J. Fox.
I was like, wait, what are you?
That's why I just kind of like ignored you for a second.
Yeah, that's a solid plan. Beetlejuice freaked me out.
Yeah, totally. When they like warped their faces, yes. And the shrunken heads.
Yes,
and
the worms.
Yeah, the sandworms. Oh, even in the cartoon, the sandworms still freaked me out.
The people that worked at the office for the undead, uh-huh. or whatever. I mean, yeah, that movie. Also presented as a kid's film.
Yeah.
Not really a kid's film. And that's a Tim Burton movie, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of Tim Burton on my list.
I mean, for a while, to me, Tim Burton was almost like the king of Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, he had really good, creepy movies.
Mm-hmm. Most of his really creepy ones are on the pass list.
Well, I don't know. Alice in Wonderland's fucking terrifying. Beetlejuice, classic. They are making a new one, apparently.
Yes.
Where he apparently goes to, like, Hawaii.
I hope that's not actually what they're going with, because I know that's what the original sequel was supposed to be.
I'll watch it if it's got
Michael
it's
supposed
Keaton.
To have Michael Keaton.
I mean,
and
Winona Ryder are both yeah. they're both on board from what I understand.
Will Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis return?
That would be awesome.
I don't think they can.
Well,
because they're ghosts.
They yeah, but they age. Did. They didn't. Well, fair
that's,
enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
CG.
They just have Alec, not? Alec Baldwin voicing himself. That's fine.
Right. I mean, hell, remember what they did with Rogue One?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
You yeah. know? So, young Jeff Bridges was really unsettling.
Yes, he was. I got a kind of an indie film as my next pick. It's low budget, but I really liked it. And they don't make a lot of movies about the Jersey Devil. So this one interested me. It's called The Barrens. It's about a father who takes his family on a camping trip into New Jersey's forest, and he keeps seeing the Jersey Devil, and he hears it, and he's freaked out by it. And meanwhile, his family's kind of falling apart. But the point of the movie is you don't know whether he actually is seeing it or if he's kind of going insane because something happened to him. I don't want to spoil it.
I know we watched this, but I don't remember if I liked it.
I watched it two times. The first time I liked it. The second time I really liked it because it is low budget. So you don't see a lot of the Jersey Devil. It's mostly hens. But when you see them, it's like the thing that says, like, when you see it, you'll shit bricks. That's how it was with the Jersey Devil in this. And it's just nice to see a competent horror movie about the Jersey Devil because, you know, they always make those really terrible low budget uh-huh. films. This one was really, really good. And it's got the guy from True Blood. I don't remember which one. I just know he's from True Blood because that's what everyone kept telling me. He's the handsome one.
No, blonde hair or dark hair?
Dark hair. I think he ended up with Anna Paquin.
Oh yeah, I don't remember the actor's name, but he played Bill.
I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's actually in The Gifted as well.
Oh, the new X-Men series.
Yeah,
I need to watch that.
Yeah, he plays the dad in The Gifted.
Oh, the family that's mm-hmm. running.
And yes, you do need to watch it. It actually is solid. We're going to talk a lot about it on Nerd Up probably.
Okay.
I say a lot. I mean, I'm going to talk about it because I guarantee nobody else has watched it.
I'll watch it. We'll talk together.
I would like to watch it.
Really Jesse, good. What do you got next?
All right. My next one, I actually haven't seen this film.
Then it can't be on your list.
I know.
Disqualified. Delete.
No, but I will not delete it. Because I was talking to my friend Lily Gorman about it because she's also, you know, really big into horror movies. And I was just going to get a pick from her. I didn't realize that you were going to post the audience recommendations one for this one.
You just had to post it on there.
Yeah. So I was just like, all right. Well, anyway, As Above, So Below.
That's
I
a really
liked
good
it.
Movie.
That yeah. was a yeah. good movie.
And that's what I keep. Well, that's what she said. Like, it's an American French style film with a whole bunch of mind fuckery and uh-huh. shenanigans.
Well, because they go into the catacombs in France.
And, like, I've got a little bit of claustrophobia, so like that right there,
You know about the catacombs in France, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's lined with the dead, literally, and it goes so deep they don't allow you to go very deep in it because you could get lost. And this movie's about them getting lost, but. Maybe something else is going on, part supernatural. We really like that. That was one
it
of Jordan's
really
favorites, too.
Good.
Didn't even have Adam Sandler in it.
Yeah, no, I do want to watch the movie, because I was looking into it. It's like, okay, no, this sounds like something I would really, really enjoy, which is why I went ahead and put it on the list, despite having not seen it yet.
I'll give that choice a pass, because it is really good. What's funny about it, Lindsay and I watched it, and we had it turned up, didn't realize that the dynamite scene in the very beginning, we watched it at like 1 a.m,
boom!
It's just boom, so loud. And our TV's turned up, and I was like, oh, fuck, we're going to get a letter for this one. Lindsay.
Yep. Okay, my next one is actually just an animated short, but I love it.
I know what it is already.
What is it?
I'm not going to say it.
It's Vincent.
Yeah. I was going to say Frank and Weenie.
No, I hate Frank and Weenie.
But it's the same thing, right? It's what it was based on?
No.
The movie was based on this short.
No.
Okay, that one the fuck I'm talking
Vincent
about.
Is a poem that Tim Burton wrote, and then it's his first animated short. It's completely read by Vincent Price, and it's about a normal little boy who wants to be Vincent Price.
You keep talking. I'm going to look up Frankenweenie.
Okay. Well, no, Frankenweenie was his first, like, directorial debut type thing, but I don't like it. But, you know, Vincent's just this short little, like, 8-minute poem. That it's a bonus feature on Nightmare Before Christmas. It's all black and white, very much Burton style of character design and shapes. And it's just about this everyday little boy with a very wild imagination and how he wants to do experiments. And I think one of the lines in it I kind of liked was, other boys and girls read Go, Jane, Go. Vincent's favorite author is Edgar Allan Poe. And towards the end, it does part of the Raven quotes.
Oh, that's
in it.
Fun.
It's just, it's really good.
I can see my arm in that picture you posted, Jesse.
Yeah, my phone's been blowing up since I posted that picture. Yeah.
Did he de-arm you?
I wish. Someone needs to. My next pick is another horror classic that I'm shocked wasn't on any list. The Lost Boys.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
One of the greatest vampire movies ever. Has Keith
It's another one you showed me.
Yeah. I mean, I showed you the good stuff.
I know. That's because I didn't watch any of it growing up because I'm a pansy.
You come to Shannon for the good stuff.
He showed you the everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, the good,
other,
the bad.
Other than The Craft and House on Haunted Hill.
Mm. If you don't know The Lost Boys, I mean, it's sad. You should know what The Lost Boys is. It's about a family that moves to
nothing to do with Peter Pan.
No. No, but it's kind of, but it's kind of similar. I remember them explaining it about these lost children who kind of band together and, it's almost like a fantasy world they live in, like in their own heads. They're all vampires. They're lost boys. They're like teenagers and children that have become these creatures. This family moves to a seaside town and their son befriends them and gets drawn into their world. It's really, really good. It's one of my favorite movies. It made the Coreys popular. Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. Cause they're in the movie together. But yeah, can't say enough nice things about it. The Lost Boys is something you should have already seen. If not, please go watch it.
It's really good. All right. I guess my last one, and this also I should probably mention, at least for me, this list was not in any particular order. This was as it came to me as I was writing them down.
Yep.
And my last one is going to be Repo, the Genetic Opera. I figure, since Sweeney Todd was on one of the lists,
that
was like,
last year's.
Yeah, I was like, no, we'll get another musical for this list.
Yep.
I've never seen this movie. Bob tells me I need to watch it. There was another movie that came out near that, which was the exact same story, but it was not a musical. It was just a straight up, movie with, I think Jude Law was in it and Forest Whitaker. Same thing about people that repossess organs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've heard Repo, the Genetic Opera. It's a better film.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it a whole lot. I don't think I've seen the one you're talking about.
I'm gonna look it up. I don't know what the title is. Paris Hilton's in this one.
Huh.
In yours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, in both, really? Yeah, no, Paris Hilton plays a, super crazy girl obsessed with, plastic surgery.
Surprise, surprise.
it's a documentary.
And they also, basically the idea is at some point, plague is taking everyone. And a company figures out a way to create organs for transplant instead of, you know, having to, have donors. Like, you could just get a transplant. But they were absurdly expensive, and you had to take out loans on them, and if you couldn't pay your loans anymore.
Then they come and take your liver.
They send a man to come and take the organ back.
The other movie I was thinking of is called Repo Men. Starring Jude Law and Forest Whitaker. And the plot is set in the near future when artificial organs can be bought on credit. It revolves around a man who struggles to make the payment on a heart he has purchased. He must therefore go on the run before said ticker is repossessed.
Oh.
Very weird that they came out with almost the exact same movie. And I think, Repo Men came out in 2010. Repo the Genetic Opera.
It was like 2007 or something like that?
2008.
2008? Okay.
Yeah, so Repo came first, but extremely similar.
Yeah, no, very similar sounding premise. And one of the other big things, they also synthesize a painkiller to go along with it. It's highly addictive, but not necessarily debilitating. And yeah, you can also harvest the – you can make a dirty version of the painkiller by harvesting organs. Anyway –
sounds like shenanigans are on the way.
Yeah, no, yes. It's a really good movie. If you're a fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which Shannon, oh, you are, Giles stars in this film.
Anthony Stewart Head.
Yep.
Love him.
And he sings a lot.
He's got a great voice. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really like, the first time I saw it, like, you know, I'm also a big fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I saw it and I was like, hey, look, it's Giles. And he has an American accent. And he's singing.
He does an American accent in this
uh-huh.
one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh.
We might have to watch this one.
Yeah, Bob's a big fan of it. No, Bob's, Jack's talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth watching. And like I said, I felt like, having a musical on this list since we had Sweeney Todd last year was a good plan.
Oh, she had a Corpse Bride.
That's a musical?
And Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, that has music in it. Is Corpse Bride a musical?
Yes.
They're both musicals.
They all sing.
Yeah, well.
But it's not animated.
That's true.
That's true.
So there you go. I saved it. Lindsay, what's your last pick?
My last one is I Am a Ghost.
Yes, you are. that's a random movie we picked up on Hulu once.
Yes, it was really good though. It's really kind of artsy and weird. Just stick with it. I promise it gets good.
Yeah, because we watched probably like 30 to 40 minutes into it, and we just looked at each other like,
"What is going on?
What is happening?"
And then by the end, I was terrified to the point I had to watch 2 episodes of Pokemon afterwards.
She watched through her fingers when the big scene happened.
Yeah.
We won't say what it was. But you talk about a movie that builds towards something. Because basically,
but it was so good.
This girl just keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. She keeps doing the exact same stuff every day. She'll get up. She'll like make food. She'll go shopping. It's the exact same every day. And then slowly but surely, it gets a little weird and weirder and weirder until it finally just breaks open. It's a long watch because it feels like forever to get mm-hmm. to the point. But once it does, it's really,
it's
really good.
It's really good.
Yeah. And the ending is really scary. When you see it, you'll shit bricks. Is the tag for tonight. Okay.
This is straight up clickbait right here.
So I've got one more that I just watched the other day again for the 9,000th time. And this is another one that I'm shocked was never on any list. And I'm more shocked that apparently fucking Tanner has never seen it.
What?
Blew my mind. Tanner Calvert, I'm putting you on blast. The horror expert has never seen Fright Night.
What? Really?
Like, I get if the average Joe hasn't seen Fright Night. It's
like
a vampire
me.
Movie from the 80s, yes. In fact, when I showed it to Lindsay, she complained that the vampires were ugly. And I said, not all vampires sparkle in the goddamn sunlight,
Lindsay. I don't like those vampires, thank you.
But for Tanner to not have seen Fright Night,
that actually does really surprise me.
Doesn't it? Because you expect him to just know all of these.
Because, like, I don't consider myself any kind of a horror aficionado, especially when it comes to horror movies from the 80s. I didn't watch that many of them, and I've seen Fright Night.
I love Fright Night. And the reason I love Fright Night, like, it's a good movie in general. One, Marcy from Married with Children is in it as the love interest, the teenage love interest, which is just funny in itself.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Amanda Beers. William Ragsdale from Herman's Head is the main guy. Anytime I can put Herman's Head on the show, I'll take every chance I got. And then Chris Sarandon is the next door neighbor, the sexy new neighbor, Jerry Aldridge, so the kid is a big fan of horror movies and he thinks that his next door neighbor is a vampire. And he tries to enlist the aid of TV host, Peter Vincent, played by Roddy McDowell, who was supposed to be this great vampire killer. And in reality, he's kind of a coward. He's just a TV host, but the kid's so enamored with it, he believes it. And it's just a fantastic movie. And Roddy McDowell as Peter Vincent is the best thing about it. And I love it so much. The remake wasn't bad. Have you ever seen the remake?
I haven't seen the remake. No.
It had, what's,
I didn't know they remade it. I think it should be the remake first. And then we went back and watched the original.
When did they remake it?
Like 5 years ago. It's got one of the doctors in it. David Tennant, I believe is his name. The guy that played Purple Man.
Yeah, that's David Tennant.
Yeah, so David Tennant is in it as Peter Vincent. He takes over the Peter Vincent role. But in this one, he's like a magician in Vegas.
And I really need to see this remake.
And it has Anton Yelchin as the regular guy. And then Colin Farrell as the next-door neighbor vampire. Damn it, I need to watch the remake too. Now, the more I talk about it, the more I want to see it again.
I want to rewatch it.
Because that cast,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
That's a sexy cast.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, it's not as good as the original. The 80s version of Fright Night is one of my favorite vampire movies. Probably my favorite vampire movie of all time.
Not many good remakes of 80s films out there, honestly.
No, I thought the Halloween one was okay. I didn't like it as much as everyone else did. Although I guess I think that might be technically a 70s film. I did like the Friday the 13th remake because it was just basic. Jason kills people, hot girl gets naked and fucks some guy on camera for like 10 minutes and then dies. Like it's classic.
The classic formula.
Right. But yeah, normally, yeah, I'm iffy on it. I'm very iffy on it. But the original Fright Night is just amazing. So that's our picks for this year. We're going to have this list up on Podzilla1985 on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Go to Facebook.com.
Yeah, I'll have us a neat little graphic, and I'll also repost the last 2 years. I was actually going to do that today before this show, but Shannon beat me to a post, and I didn't want to post on top of that.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
So I was like, well, crap, I'll do it tomorrow. It'll be fine.
And you guys sent us some of your picks for Halloween, too. I'm going to read those off real quick before we get out of here for the night. Jake Andrew, Jake, who was almost on the show, but he left, so it's his fault, not ours. He said Tremors, which I'm really surprised hasn't made the list yet. It will in the future. That's a classic. You remember Tremors, Lindsay?
Uh-huh, I remember
with Tremors. The Graboids.
Uh-huh.
Nightcrawler.
Which Tremors movie was it that had them testing a ridiculous weapon? Dude was standing like off in the distance holding a pack of cigarettes. Oh, maybe I'm making this up. I want to say it was a Tremors movie because this messed with me real bad as a kid for some reason. Basically, this guy got this high-powered machine gun. And he wanted to test out the accuracy of it, sort of. That's what he made it sound like. He had one of his minions go off into the distance with a pack of cigarettes and just hold the pack of cigarettes out to his right, used the machine gun, fired it at the pack of cigarettes, blew the guy's arm off.
Oh, my.
Well, that definitely wasn't in the two Tremors movies I saw.
It wasn't one of the first two. I know it wasn't one of the first two. Because this was at the point, at this point, they were very used to the Tremors.
At this point, it eventually becomes, I think I said this on the Tuesday show, or maybe it was just around here, but eventually Tremors kind of feels like Ernest, where it's like Ernest goes here, Bert from Tremors goes here. Yeah. But the first Tremors is a classic. I really love it. And the second one's really good. He also said Nightcrawler, which I don't know if you've seen Nightcrawler, but it's the one about the journalists in LA, I think.
I haven't seen it, but I know the one you're talking about. It's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, legitimately creepy. Like, he's great performance in that movie. It's borderline horror because it's kind of a psychological thing, so I'll let it pass. Child's Play, which, again, future Hall of Famer. That'll be on our list eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And he put Cult of Chucky, which just came out this week on Netflix, and I'm going to go home tonight and probably watch it.
I didn't know that was going to be a Netflix thing. I thought it was coming to theaters.
I think it might be, but it's going on Netflix first.
No, that's cool.
It's available right now, so I'm going to go home and watch that tonight. I'm excited about that. Joey Poole said, it's the entire month for me and this kiddo, or the kiddo, son, and already started with Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, which is fantastic, made our list last year, and have others. Slither, great movie. The Crazies, good movie. Hatchet, I've never seen. And The Cabin in the Woods, also made our list.
I like Cabin in the Woods. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Mike Branham, our old friend, said, listening to the audiobook of It when I can. Part of me wants to watch some old Hitchcock, either Psycho or Rear Window. I'll throw on Cabin in the Woods sometime in October for sure. A lot of love for Cabin in the Woods.
It's such a good movie. Mm-hmm. It deserves all the love it gets.
Zane Laney, our old friend and Podzilla 1985 mega fan, said, it's almost a week into October and I've yet to watch a single horror movie. Well, you're off the list.
Oh, no.
Deleting Zane Laney. No, I kid. I did watch Flatliners this past weekend and it was not good. I thought it was pretty boring. Other than that, I really want to see the newest Blair Witch movie. That was really good, by the way. And the Evil Dead remake, also really good, made our list. If I can convince my significant other to watch anything remotely scary. That, and I still have a list from last year's Terrifying Tana Thursdays that I need to get through. Absolutely.
You just need to put it on and not tell them.
Zane, I do have a question for you. You say you watched Flatliners. Was that the new remake of Flatliners? Is that out? Or you watched the original 80s movie? Because I've watched the original 80s movie. I also thought it was kind of boring.
Because that's the thing about the people that are this hip new fad of killing yourself to visit the afterlife for a minute and then getting revived.
Well, they're in the original, they were med students.
Yeah.
They were med students that were curious about what happened when you would die. Yeah. And so they would basically kill themselves, sort of. They would like lower their temperature or whatever to make them dead. They'd cross over and then they'd bring them back and they brought stuff back with them. But it wasn't nearly as scary as I thought it was going to be. It was much more psychological. So if that's the one he's talking about, I thought it was pretty boring too. I think the new one's going to be bad, but that's just me. Mike Spees said anthology goodness for him, and he posted the poster for Trick or Treat.
Yay.
Not much to read, but the title speaks for itself. It's a classic and will forever be in my library of Halloween classics. It's
I really like Trick or Treat.
Made the list on the first year, I think.
Yeah. Trick or Treat has become one of the go-tos for Halloween.
It's really, really good.
Aaron Picard asks, Dungeon of Doom's The Yeti versus WWE's The Zombies in a five tables, ladder, hell in a cell on a pole match. Who wins? Aaron, you're weird. By the way, the answer is the fans. Derek Boxdorfer, our old friend, says Hocus Pocus is a must.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Halloween Town.
Eh.
All of them, even though it's not the same without the original actress. And he says, I'm a sucker for any DCOM Halloween style movies.
Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you for clearing that up. And Final Destination, which hasn't made our list yet, but probably will in the future.
I can't watch those.
Yeah. I don't.
I still get antsy anytime I'm behind a log truck.
Oh, that actually still happens to me, yes. I can't be behind log trucks. But, that's one of those things, like, I keep watching those movies thinking that, you know, one of the new ones is gonna be as good as one of the first two. Cause the first two Final Destination movies were actually pretty good.
Yeah, they should have really stopped it after that. Mm-hmm. But it kinda became like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, where it became more about the kills and how creative they could be, as opposed to being a good movie.
Yep.
So I'm with you on that. It's kind of disappointing when you get to a certain point.
Right, because I think they've made five of them now.
Maybe even more than that.
I feel like there's more than five.
I think there may be six, because I think the last one was just called, like, Final Destination again.
Well, yeah, I think it was supposed to be, like, because I want to say it was 1, 2, 3D, 4, and then The Final Destination.
That might be what I'm thinking of.
I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Also, it's a cheat code that your main villain is death.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't beat death.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler, guys. No one makes it out of those movies.
Even if it takes an extra movie to do it. They still get theirs.
Uh-huh.
Double H says Ghostbusters, obviously, of course. He's a big fan of the new 2016 Ghostbusters.
Oh, no.
That is a joke.
right now, Hunter is act like, okay, as we're recording this, Hunter just got really angry. He has no idea why.
He just felt a cold spot in the room and was like, what the hell was that?
And now listening to the show, Hunter.
Hopefully he's laughing at this point because he knows we're joking. He's talking about the original classic from the 80s, of course. And he also said the new season of Stranger Things, which, I'm surprised since we changed this to, like, just things to watch that none of us had Stranger Things on our list.
I didn't know that until we came in here.
That's, to be fair,
that it
true.
Was things to watch.
I think Stranger Things will definitely be on next year's list, but ahead of time, you should watch Stranger Things. It was really good.
Yes.
Great throwback to the 80s.
I was hooked right after the first episode.
Oh, and I love the music. The soundtrack through the whole thing is wonderful.
Especially the opening theme.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, tonight's theme, if you heard it at the beginning. We got one more. This is from the big man himself, Tanner Calvert, who couldn't be with us tonight, unfortunately, which is why we kind of changed the name, because Tanner, very busy, doesn't know if he's going to be able to make it for Terrifying Tanner Thursdays, so we kind of switched the name up a little bit, but he is here in spirit, and this is what he's watching this Halloween. Dawn of the Dead, Halloween 1 and 2, The Blair Witch, which we actually saw in theater together, 30 Days of Night. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen 30 Days of Night?
No, not yet.
It's a vampire movie about it's a place in Alaska that has 30 Days of Night and vampires
really
attack.
Good.
I remember the premise for it, and I remember thinking, man, I want to see this movie, and I just never have.
Because holy shit, what a great time for vampires.
Seriously.
30 Days of Night straight.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those, like, they migrate up. It's holiday.
Yeah.
It's like, they're
open
on their way up
season.
Yeah.
The first Friday the 13th. Ghost Ship, which, you remember Ghost Ship? Yeah.
Just the boat scene alone.
The opening.
You left me alone
for that first part.
He left us.
You could honestly, like, I'll be honest. Ghost Ship is not a bad movie. Like, I don't, like.
It's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
I enjoyed it, except that one scene.
The
where
boat.
I cringed real bad.
The scene at the beginning on the boat. You'll know what scene I'm talking about.
If you've seen
the
movie, you know exactly what he's talking about.
Once that scene is over, you can turn it off. You've seen the best part of the film.
Pretty much. Like, the rest of the movie's fine. Don't get us wrong. It's got Gabriel Byrne in it. Emily Browning is one of her first movies. Mm-hmm. But that opening scene, that is a classic scene.
Uh-huh. It's one of those things that really does just kind of like, they blew their entire load at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it just,
that should have been the ending.
Yeah.
That should have been the big reveal.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is what happened to cause all the chaos. But
they wanted to hit you in the mouth in the beginning and keep you there. And it worked.
It worked.
Yeah. 13 Ghosts, which I was never a big fan of. That's the one with Tony Shalhoub and Matthew Lillard where they move into the house and there's supposedly ghosts there and they're imprisoned.
Yeah.
It was okay. VHS, classic. In fact,
mm-hmm.
1 and 2, both classics. 3, okay.
And I think Viral was the third one.
Yeah, okay. And
VHS
is on our list.
Yeah,
I almost put VH2 on our list this year, but I did not. I wish they made a part 4 because that's one of the fun things. We've pretty much watched a new VHS like every year for Halloween, but not this year.
Few years, yeah.
Which is sad. Friday the 13th Part 6, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, It, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, The Blair Witch Project, the original, and Ernest Scared Stupid, which also made our list. So,
because that was still Tanner's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were all Tanner.
Tanner just kind of hit a bunch of them all on the first two lists.
Yes, yes, he did. Well, that's why there's a list. They're classics. That's
true. They are good.
So that is this year's 31 things you need to watch this October. Get started. You're 5 days behind. Luckily, most of these things are only a few hours long. So you can cram a bunch into
binge
one day.
Binge days. Yes.
Or you can just save it for all of like the week of Halloween.
And just go nuts.
Just go ham.
Just go all week. Just constant horror movies all the way up.
The point is that it's Halloween. Enjoy yourself. Be scared. That's the best time of the year to do it. Mm. And you can look forward to this new Are You Afraid of Podzilla After Dark? Or Podzilla 1985? Are You Afraid of PZ85 After Dark?
There we go.
All month long. Every Thursday in October, we're going to be talking about scary stuff, spooky stuff. We're going to share some ghost stories. We're going to do some fun things. We do it every year. It's one of our favorite times of the year. So please join us for that. We're going to see you guys on Sunday for Nerd Up.
Yep.
It's going to be a good show. You're going to be talking about something we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about both The Gifted and The Inhumans, because both of them have officially aired now. And spoiler, it's really interesting that they took a list of C-list mutants and made a TV show about them. More interesting than a TV show about the royal family of the Inhumans. More on that Sunday.
Huh.
And we'll be back next week to do it all over again. So, real quick, the plugs. I want you to go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. One, to interact with us. Two, give us a like. Three, to check out those lists. We're going to have 1, 2, and 3, the newest one on there very, very soon. I want you to head over to podzilla1985.com, catch up on all the old episodes, including that great Jeff Hardy interview that we had on Wednesday. And then we want you to go to patreon.com/podzilla1985 if you'd like to support the show with your wallet.
Yeah.
Which we're always fans of.
Yeah, and also going back, for those of you that don't want to do the math here, that's 93 movies. 93 unique films.
That you need to watch.
That you can watch in October.
You better get to cracking, motherfucker.
This is going to get real hard once we get like 5 years in.
Hopefully the show gets canceled before then because, yeah, eventually we're just going to be like,
go watch this one again.
Did anybody say this one? Yeah, shit.
We'll have American to start Werewolf making our own.
We'll start making new movies.
There we go.
All right.
Little fitty production.
Oh, no, we don't put those on the internet. At least not in this part of the internet.
Although, depending on who's naked, it can be scary. Thank you guys for listening. We're going to see you on Sunday for Nerd Up. Have a great weekend and enjoy those horror movies.